wanted to do one last sugya. I figured over the first semester, if we finished the first parak, that would be very geshmak. So let's at least get closer to the end of the first parak. On Daf Yud Gimel, another sugya comes up that actually, as luck would have it, relates to this week's parsha. So it's an appropriate thing to do this week anyway. And that is the sugya of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. Now the truth is, the words mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes appear in the Gemara on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, and they appear in the Gemara later on in the Masechta. On Daf Yud Gimel, the words mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes do not appear in the Gemara, but the issue clearly comes up. Mishnah says on that, and yeah, let's just read the Mishnah of the Gemara first. It says the Mishnah, Ha'omer tnu gets al ishti shtar shichru zela avdi umeis lo yit nilach ramisa. A guy says to his shliach, I want you to give this get to my wife, this shtar shichru to my heaven, and then the guy dies. Don't give it after the guy dies, because it's too late. You can't give the get li'achar misa, after the person dies. That's Aleph. That's halacha number one in the Mishnah. Tnu mana li ish ploni umeis yitnu lachar misa. But if he says, give money, give $100 to this guy, and then the person who sent you to give the money dies, so that you could still do lachar misa. You're allowed to give the money lachar misa. The Gemara, when it starts, immediately starts on the second halach of the Mishnah. The Gemara does not begin by discussing the first halach of the Mishnah. So let's discuss the first halach of the Mishnah for a couple of minutes before we get into the second halacha. So first halach of the Mishnah is that if a man says to a shliach, here, take this get, give it to my wife, take the shtar shichru, give it to my eved, and then the man drops dead, the shliach cannot deliver it. Why? Why can the shliach not deliver it? So it should be obvious. There are two ways to end a marriage, and those two ways are death and divorce, right? So this guy wants the get to be delivered, but the get's going to be delivered after he's dead. Well, guess what? He's not married anymore anyway. So if he's not married anymore anyway, well, it doesn't make sense to give the get lachar misa. So that's the concept, or that's one understanding of the concept of ein get lachar misa. So Frek Tosos, wait a second. So the whole chiddush of the first line of this Mishnah is that ein get lachar misa, Tosos says, but that's a beferish Mishnah later on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to have in Perek Misha Achsu Kodaikos, the Mishnah is going to say beferish that ein get lachar misa. So what are you teaching me here about Ein Get Lachar Misa that I won't already know from a Mishnah later on about Ein Get Lachar Misa? So says Tosfos, there's a big difference between the two cases. Our case of Ein Get Lachar Misa is you give the shliach the get and then die, and the woman does not receive the get until after the husband is dead, but the shliach is already in possession of the get, and is already the process is already underway when the husband is alive. One second. The case over there on Ayin Beis is, let's say a person on January 1st gives a get to his wife and says, this get should be chal in 30 days from now. So, and then he dies on January 15th. So February 1st, the get is supposed to be chal, but he dies January 15th. So Ein Get Lachar Misa, the get's not going to be chal. Now in that case, the woman already has the get in hand while her husband is still alive. So it's a totally different case. So says Tosfos, those differences make all the difference over here. Why? The chiddush that Mishnah teaches me, that I wouldn't know from our Mishnah, is that even though the woman is holding the get before the husband is dead, she's already in possession of the get, of the actual document, before the husband is dead, still in get lachar misa. In our Mishnah, the woman is not in possession of the get. In our Mishnah, it's the shliach that's in possession of the get, so maybe it's a greater chiddush in that Mishnah. So why don't we just have that Mishnah? What's the chiddush in our Mishnah? So says Tosfos an unbelievable thing. He says, the afal gav, shemina hamegarish b'chayev hashliach, lo chashuv lios kamoso achar moso, kilu hu atzmo kayam. That even though I might have thought, if I just had our Mishnah, if I just had that Mishnah rather, I might have thought that when you give the get to, if a man gives the get to a shliach, and then the man drops dead, we have a rule in shlichus, shlucho shel adam kamoso. So I might think that when a man gives a get to a shliach, that shliach becomes the baal, he becomes like the husband vis-a-vis this get, and as long as he's still alive, even if the husband is not alive, he could still give the get. That's the havamina, that the shliach would be able to give the get because he is standing b'makom habal. The way the Or Sameach puts this is let's, how do you view a shliach? Do you view him as someone who's omid b'makom habal, or do you view him as yada arichta? What does it mean, yada arichta? Like the husband has a long reach. His hand even reaches the other person's body, is part of his yad, is part of the yad of the Baal. That's his the extent to which the husband is able to influence. So if it's yada arichta, well, a dead hand, does that mean a hand of a dead person is not going to be able to do anything? He's a dead man and he's got a yada arichta, it's not going to help. But if you say he's omed bimkom habal, that he's actually acting as the Baal now, that he becomes the Baal vis-a-vis the Mesira Saget, the Nesina Saget, so then he should be able to give it, because then he's still alive, so that might be okay. Now, the truth is that it's not going to be okay anyway. Meaning that would be the Hava Mina. That the way to explain the Hava Mina, the way Tosfos understands it, is that I might have thought that he's omed bimakom habal, and since he's omed bimakom habal, he's able to do this Maisa as a live person, right? Because he is alive, so he's able to do the Nesina Saget. So what's the Kamash Malan? So what's our Mishnah teaching us? Is it that the guy is not omed bimakom habal, and it's just that it's Yadar Richta? Or maybe no. Maybe in a Chinami, he is omed bimakom habal, but he still can't give the get. Because what does omed b'makom habal mean? Omed b'makom habal means that if I'm alive and conscious, and so I can do the maisa. I'm able to affect the maisa properly, and I can even supply the das and whatever else. Right? I'm able to do all that. But there's another part of the get, and that is the chalos haget. In order for a get to be chal, you need to have a marriage for it to be chal on. If there's no marriage that exists, then a get can't be chal. So one could argue, one could make the argument, that he's not just Yoda Arichta. He is Bimakom Habal. He does take the place of the Baal. But the get still can't be chal after the Baal dies because there's nothing for it to be chal on. L'may nafkamina, one second, l'may nafkamina, whether he's b'makom habal or he's yada arichta, now that we said that either way, once the husband is dead, it's not going to work. Nafkamina is, what if a husband appoints a shliach to give a get, and then the husband is nishtate, he becomes a shote. So, mida oraisa, can that get work? Can the shliach give a get? So if he's yada arichta, he's just the extended hand of the Baal. Well, the Baal's a shote, he can't give a get. It's not going to work. But if he's omid b'makomo, he stands in the place of the Baal, then it would, then l'chora, it should be able to work. There is a marriage for it to be chal on, because the shote is still married to his wife. So there's a marriage for it to be chal on, so it should work in that situation. That is what the Arsamech, that's what the Arsamech explains, the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam paskins in the third paragraph of Segerishin, that mida oraisa, a shote, a guy who makes a shliach for a get, and then becomes a shote, the mida oraisa, the get can be chal. How? Because the Rambam understands that it's not yada arichta, that it's bimakom habal, it's omid bimakomo. And as long as there's a marriage for it to be chalan, omid bimakomo works. Yeah?
Two questions. So this would not work in the case of shliach l'kabbalah?
This would not. Shliach l'kabbalah, it's already done. There's nothing. Right.
And then how would all this fill in with get milchama?
What do you mean?
Like, isn't that the exact same thing that, based on the conditions that she'll be divorced?
No. Kol yotzei l'mechamis based on is a major machlokas rishonim mesachs gittin, mesachs ksuvos, where it comes up. The machlokas is whether it's a get me'achshav, that's going to be chal now, on the condition that you die, which is different than saying that the get's going to be chal after you die, or maybe it's just stam, straight out get. That's how some rishonim understand that it's just a get. It's an absolute divorce, and when he comes back, they'll get remarried. But it's an absolute divorce.
What chiddush does the makoma, the one
that he's omed b'makoma? That if the husband became a shota after he was memana a shliach, the shliach can still deliver the get, because the shliach is the one doing the maisa, and he's a bar das. So as long as the shliach has das and he's alive and he's well.
And
Yada Richta is that the shliach isn't a person, he's just the hand of the husband. So the husband's brain is still the key brain to keep it in mind. The shliach is just an extension of the husband, but it all goes back to the husband. This really cuts to the core of, what Shluch HaShalom Kamosa means. The Shluch HaShalom Kamosa mean Yada Richta, it doesn't mean Omid Bim Kamo. Yeah.
Assuming it is Omid Bim Kamo, and he could do it, what extra is it doing?
if the guy becomes a shota.
But in case of if he's dead.
If he's dead, it won't help, but it helps if he becomes a shota. Right, that's what I'm saying. Meaning that even though it tells clearly if he dies, you could say that obviously it's not going to work because there's nothing for it to be chal on. But by a shota, there's a marriage for it to be chal on. So can it work? That would tie directly to this issue of the arsameach. This issue that Tosfos raises is that the arsameach is masbir in that way. Now I saw in the Masifta, in the Yalkut Birurim, he quotes that Rabbi Kivager asks a very strong kasha. What does Tosfos say? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah here that we don't have in the Mishnah later on? That in, here in our Mishnah, the shliach might be, you might think he's omed b'makomo, and therefore he's as long as he's a bardas, it can work. So Rabbi Kivager just points out that that's also clear in the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. That the Mishnah talks about someone who brings a get from somewhere else, and the megarish is a zakein or a chola when he took the get from the husband, right? The husband was a zakein or a chola. You're allowed to give the woman the get, the cheskas, that the husband is still alive, and you don't worry shem emes. So you see that after the husband is dead, you can't give the get, even though you're a shliach. So the chiddush, if the whole chiddush of our Mishnah is that even with a shliach it doesn't work, well, we have another Mishnah that tells me even with the shliach it doesn't work. That the shliach is only allowed to give the get if the... I wouldn't answer it, but you're a nice guy. That if the shliach wouldn't give a get if... I forgot, I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. That what do we say? That the Megaresh, that we already see from that Mishnah later on, Daf Chav Ches, that even when it's done through a Shliach, the Shliach can't give a Lachamisa. So there's nothing our Mishnah is adding that Mishnah later on doesn't already teach us. It's a Palm Kasher, Rabbi Kivager, don't know. Tzarech Iyun Gadol is how Rabbi Kivager leaves it. Yeah.
So compare this Mishnah to what we were previously talking about.
So Rashi on this Mishnah says, wait a second, why isn't there a machlokas over here? Why wasn't some? Where are the chachamim saying? What do you mean? Zach ladim shalom b'fanav. The shliach was already mezaka the get shichur for the eved because it's zechus. How come no one talks about that? So Rashi already says that you have to say the case is he didn't actually give the shtar shichur to the shliach. He told the shliach, I want you to write and give a shtar shichur. But he didn't actually give it to him. Had he given it to him, then Enoch Inami would have the same machlok as we had in the previous Mishnahs about Zachal Adam Shalom B'Fanav. So that's Rashi says, yeah.
But it says to get set.
Yeah, so...
specific as in not go right this specific.
Or he didn't hand it to him. He said, Rashi says that's the difference between Tanu and Tain. Tain means he gave it to him. Tanu means I want you to give this get, you know, over there or whatever, but he never actually gave it to him. I don't know. I don't know how the words mean those different things, but that's what Rashi assumes. Now, the main topic I wanted to talk about today, though, is the kasha that Tosos asks on in Dibra Maskel v'Halo Mashach. We need to see a little bit of Gemara before we get there. The format of the Gemara is as follows. The Gemara says one chiddush to qualify our Mishnah. And again, the Gemara only focuses on the second halacha of the Mishnah. The second halacha of the Mishnah, a man says to a shliach, I want you to give $100 to Ploni, and then the man dies, the shliach should still give $100 to Ploni. So the Gemara is going to make a qualifying statement. That's only if X. Then the Gemara is going to say, well, why? Why is that only if this qualification is met? So what's that qualification? Amar Yisrael Bar Shmuel Bar Matan Mishmei the Rav V'hu, this din that you give the money after the man dies, Shetzibarnu Menachin, the Keren Zavis, is only if you have identified the money and you've put it aside. If you've identified and put aside the money, that's when you would have to listen and give the money after the man dies. So it's Frek the Gemara, I don't understand. Who are we talking about over here? Who is this man that wants to give the money? At the time that he makes a shliach to give the money, if he's a healthy person, so in order for a healthy person to transfer property to somebody else, you know what he has to do? He has to do something called a kinyan. You want to transfer property to somebody, you do a kinyan. What do you mean? Why does it help that the money's piled up somewhere and he's saying, give it to... There's no kinyan. So how do you get anything done without a kinyan? And if he is a shchiv merah, if he's someone who's dying, so then in a chinami he doesn't need a kinyan because we have a klal, Divrei Shchivim Rak Hiksuv Nukum Surin Dami. That because, and there's a reason Chazal instituted this, they were afraid that if we don't listen to what a Shchiv Mera says, that it's going to worsen his condition. He's going to have a certain amount of anxiety over the fact that he's not in control of his life anymore, and he's going to try to tell people to do things, doesn't have the energy to do anything himself, and no one's going to be listening. So Chazal made a rule that a Shchiv Mera doesn't need a kinyan. Divrei Shchiv Mera, the words of the Shchiv Mera themselves, are Kiksuv Nukum Surin Dami. It's as if it's written up in a shtar and already handed over. It's as if kinyanim have been done. So if he's a Shchiv Mera, then why does it need to be designated and piled up in the side of a room somewhere? You don't have to designate the property. You did a kinyan. Divrei Shchiv Mera is like a kinyan. So either way, this statement about our Mishnah, it's not a kasha on the Mishnah, it's a kasha on Rav's statement about our Mishnah, that it doesn't make any sense. Rav's statement about our Mishnah is that you only give the money if it's Tzibarnu Menachem Mekaren Zavis, if it's piled up somewhere and designated, set aside. That doesn't make sense, because if he's a healthy person, being set aside isn't good enough, and if he's a Shchiv Mera, it doesn't need to be set aside. That's the kasha that the Gemara asks. Now the Gemara has two approaches to answer this question, Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Rav Zvid says, really, it's talking about a healthy person. How can you get away without a kinyan? So he introduces a concept of a kinyan called Maimut Shlashtan. Not going to get into it now, that's a whole other sugya to discuss. Rav Papa says, no, really, we're talking about a Shchiv Mera. Why do you even need Tzibarnu Menachin? Also fascinating topic that is not really for now, and he says that maybe Tzibarnu Menachin is necessary because the idea of Divrei Shchiv Mera is not going to work when you don't identify what the item is, because we're afraid he was referring to something specific that may be hidden away somewhere. Okay, whatever the answers are, let's focus on the question for a second. If the man is healthy, of course the kinyan, there was no kinyan. And if there was no kinyan, the money, by what means should this money be transferred, even if it's designated, set aside, piled up somewhere, by what means can it be transferred? There was no kinyan. The way the Gemara says it is, v'ha lo mashach, you didn't do meshicha. Lav dafka meshicha, hagbah, any sort of kinyan, any sort of the normal kinyanim you do on metalklin. Asks Tosos, wait a second. Even without a kinyan, how do you understand that? I mean, let's put it this way. We read our Mishnah. A man says to a shliach, go give money to so-and-so. So the halacha is you have to give it, right? When do we assume the kinyan is happening? When did the kinyan happen? What? When the shliach gives it to him, right? But what's the Gemara saying? V'halo mashach, implying that, no, the kinyan wasn't made yet. So what that the kinyan wasn't made yet? No, the whole point is that the kinyan should be made. Elamai, the Gemara is assuming that through these words somehow the kinyan is made. And in fact, that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer, Rav Zvid's answer, is that it's b'maimut shlashton, which means that when you say it, that's when the kinyan was chal already. Asks Tosfos, maybe the Mishnah is just saying that you have to give it because there's a general concept, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, that there's a mitzvah to do. What a mace said, someone who's dying tells you to do something, you got to do it. Mitzvah l'kayim, divrei mace. I don't care if there was no kinyan, that's not the point. There's a mitzvah l'kayim, divrei mace. That alone should be the mechayev. So, Tosas has four approaches. Other Rishonim have another four approaches. So there are lots and lots of ways to answer this question. But I want to take the opportunity to discuss a little bit this concept of mitzvah l'kayim and divrei ames, and then use our understanding of this concept to try to figure out how the different answers of Tosos fit with the understanding of this concept. Just to make it a little more real. I was asked the following shayla about a month ago. A man who I know, whose mother is terribly ill. She's extremely sick. And he grew up, the parents, his mother, his father, are very, very yeshivish. They belong to a very, very prominent yeshivish family. And the kid went off to Derech in high school, you know, and for a while after, and ultimately came back, and he settled into a Baruch Hashem, very sweet guy, and a real Orthodox lifestyle, but what you would call, a modern Orthodox lifestyle, you know, has a television, doesn't wear a hat, wears jeans on Sundays, you know, regular, control your horror, please. So, regular good frum guy. It kills his parents. I mean, that's not cancer is killing his mother, but it destroys his parents that this is happening to him, that he doesn't wear a hat, that he doesn't dress the way they dress, that he doesn't that he's not yeshivish, that he's not in learning full time like all of his siblings are. It just destroys them. It's like they feel like this is the worst thing ever. So, but they still love him. You know, he's their kid. And his mother was talking to him, and you know, and she's unfortunately very, very ill. And she said to him, "Listen, soon you're going to be saying Kaddish for me. When you say Kaddish for me, I want you to wear a hat the whole time you say Kaddish for me." Now, this guy doesn't just happen to not wear a hat. He dafka doesn't wear a hat because he had enough bad experiences in that world that he has strong hashkafic problems with wearing a black hat. It's not just stam that he doesn't wear it. His mother said, "I want you to wear a black hat when you say Kaddish for me." So he called me up. He said, "What do I do?" He said, "I'm asking halachically first, and then we could talk. You know, if it's a halacha, it's an open and shut case that I have to listen. So fine, then I'll then there's nothing to talk about. If it's halachically not required, well then we need to have a conversation, right? So is it halachically required? So you have to spot what the issues are over here. What are the issues? What halachos might bind him? Kibur aveim is one important issue that might bind him. And the other one, mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. You're only going to be saying Kaddish after the person is already gone. They're telling you this, do this after I die. So do you have a requirement of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes? So what exactly are the parameters of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes? Now when I say what are the parameters, there are two key questions that people raise, that Rishonim and Achronim raise about mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. One question is, to what does it apply? I mean, can someone choose your wardrobe? Your wardrobe after they die? Because keep in mind, mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes has nothing to do with the parent, l'chora. It could be anybody. So if let's say someone gives you a call and says, "Strangest thing happened. Some guy just died in Texas, and he never met you before, but he saw your Facebook page or something, and his last dying request was that you wear pink shirts every day for the rest of your life." So mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes is going to bind you to wear pink shirts every day for the rest of your life because some guy, when he was dying, that was his dying wish, that's what you do? What exactly does it control? Is it only about money? Is it only about his money? Is it about, meaning, where do we draw the line on the rights of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes? Does he just get, as some of the achronim say, does he become like a navi? That we just give him all the power to do whatever he wants and to, you know, be mivatel divrei Torah and whatever? You know, momentarily, a navi can be mivatel divrei Torah, not forever, then he's a navi sheker, then you have to kill him. That's one question. The other question is, mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes, does that make a kinyan? Is that a kinyan, or is that just something you're supposed to do? Meaning, when someone on his deathbed says, "I want this this book to belong to so and so," does it right then belong to that person already? That it's already a kinyan, it already belongs to him? Or is it, no, we have a mitzvah to listen to him and to affect that kinyan, to make it belong to him, to then give it to that person? Those are the two major questions about mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. I said it relates to this week's parsha. The reason it relates to this week's parsha, Parsha's Vayechi, is there is a medrash on this week's parsha where the medrash Hagadol, the parsha says, "Vayasu banav lo came kasher tzivim," that the Shvatim did as Yaakov commanded them. The medrash says, "Mikan de mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes." So you see from here, there's a concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. So that's the parsha connection. Let me just give you one more case to frame the question a little bit. Let's say you have a man who says, "I want this money to go to Reuven." And Reuven says, at the time that the man dies, Reuven says, "I don't want it. I don't want the money. I'm not interested." And then sometime later, Reuven changes his mind. He says, "Oh, that money that your dad said that he wanted to go to me, I want it." And the Yorshim say, "You had your chance. You blew it. We're not giving you the money now." Who's right? Who's right? Is mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes? So now, l'manaf kamina, who's right? Meaning, what does this hinge on? What does this depend on? So, one of the things it might depend on is that question of, is it a kinyan? or is it a mitzvah? Right? That if you hold it, so which way would that go? If you hold it's a kinyan, so l'chori you would say it's his. But here's the thing: you can't be kona something bal karcha. So you can't be kona something against your will. So if at the shas kinyan you weren't interested, then you lose. Now you're interested, but now the kinyan is not happening. The kinyan was at that moment. If it's a mitzvah to do what he said, to listen to the guy, the dying man, so this was his request. Now Reuven's interested, so you got to follow his request. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-time thing. It's do it till it's done. And once it's done, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. But you have this responsibility until the job is done. You have that responsibility. So that's the question. If you take a look at Tosos over here, so Tosos starts with these four answers. Actually, even before Tosos, before we get to Tosos, I mentioned this discussion. Is it only about money, or is it about other things also? So the Gemara in Gittin Yudal Rambez is the source for Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes. And the Gemara seems like it's only about money that you're mashlish b'chayav, that you designated during your lifetime to go to somebody. In the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Rav Asher Weiss quotes, he says that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes is only about money and about nothing else. It's not about wearing black hats, it's not about wearing pink shirts, it's money and only money. It's about where I want my money to go. And in fact, it's muchach that way, because the makor of the halacha is from dinim of Nachla and Yerusha, where if a guy has the right after he dies to determine, you know, to give his money, to bequeath his money to people, so he could bequeath his money to people while he's alive. But what's the problem? What do we say is the connection to the parasha? Yaakov telling his children, Mikan l'mitzvah kain divrei emes, from the fact that the children listen to Yaakov. What did he tell them? Where to give his money? It wasn't anything about money. It was about what to do with him, bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing to do with money. So it sounds from that Maramakam, at least from the Medrash, that it's not money related, yeah?
So another point from Yaakov that he made them take a shvua.
Ah, so this is a Ramban's kasha. He made them take a shvua. If they anyway were bound by Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes and by Kibud Av Va'Em, why bother with the shvua? So the Ramban writes, now the Shavua was to convince Paro. Because Paro's not going to, you're going to say, keep Ravein. Paro says, he's dead, don't worry about it. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes, what's a mitzvah? You know, Paro's not interested in Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Emes. But if you want to have the right to be able to leave Mitzrayim and to go and to deliver, so and to bury him, so Paro could understand that the ethics of swearing to a dying father that you should keep a Shavua. So it was just to relate to Paro on his level. That's how the Ramban understands. Or the Ramban says another possibility, maybe it's just to be Mizari's Yosef. Yeah, you have this mitzvah to do anyway, but just to give a little oomph to it, give a little extra push. Sometimes you need a little extra encouragement to do a mitzvah, so it's to be Mizari's Yosef. Okay, maybe that's the idea. Another context that comes up, yeah?
Can you say that it only applies to situations of things that have to do with the burial?
Good. I'm getting it. So another context where it comes up in is on Sanhedrin Mem Vav and Beis, there's a suffix in the Gemara whether hesped is kavod chayim or kavod mesim. Why do we do hesped when someone dies? Do we do it to honor the dead, or do we do it to honor the living, the family, that it's very they're very honored by the fact that their relative was such an important person, was such a great person? So l'maynaf kamina. Nafkamina is, what if the dying person says, I don't want a hesped? Does he have the right to be mochel? He could be mochel something that's for him, that's for his own kavod. He can't be mochel something that's for his family's kavod. So can he be mochel? The halacha is, by the way, if someone says, don't be maspid me, anyone know what's the halacha? You're not supposed to be maspid him. You're supposed to listen to what he says. Which raises the question of the long, long line of great rabbinic personalities throughout the ages who have all asked that, please don't be maspid me, and everyone ignored their request and were masked with them anyway. So they always start by saying, just like a Hesper and Rosh Chodesh, it always starts by saying, you're not masked with Rosh Chodesh, so we're just going to say a lot of really nice things about the person that paint a picture of his life and his accomplishments that will cause everyone to cry. Meaning, we will just say a Hesper. Right, so that's a lot of times that's what they do, which is really not correct. It's not proper to do such a thing. But that's the nafkamina. If it's covered a chayim or covered a mason, can you be maspid? If the guy says he doesn't want a hesped. Halacha, it's covered a mace. Says the sma simin reishon and gimel sif cut and test. Not only if the guy's mocha the hesped. Do you not, or if the guy says, I don't want the hesped, do you not have a mitzvah to be maspid him? You have an iser to be maspid him. Why? Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Because of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Is that about money? Nothing to do with money. And yet, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So in order to explain, how could the Tashbetz, the Shvus Yaakov, all these achronim say, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is only about money? Here we have it's about hesped. Here we have it's about... It's about the Yaakov telling his children to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Asher explains that maybe it's not money versus non-money. That's not where we draw the line. Maybe what the Tashbetz means is that anything, what John was saying, that anything that's nogea to the guy himself, it's mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But for him to say, some guy in Texas, his dying request is, if I wear pink shirts, why in the world does he care if I'm wearing pink shirts? That has no bearing on him. It doesn't affect him at all. So why would that matter to him whatsoever? So if it has no shaychus to him, so then you would say that there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But if it's about his hesped, it's about his kvura, it's about something that you're doing for him, his money that he's leaving behind, something that's nogea completely to him, then you would still say, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. What would you say about the hat? Black hat?
It's
what?
It's
his kaddish. So the question then becomes, is that like, is that nogea to the kaddish at all? I mean, is it a better kaddish with a hat? I'm doing the kaddish anyway. Is it a better kaddish with a hat? Or it's like saying, I want you to, what? Right, or yeah, I want you, right. When you say Kaddish, I want you to wear a blue shirt. Why, does that make it a better Kaddish? When you say Kaddish, I want you to use this sitter. Right? What difference does it make? You know, like you're saying the same words anyway. Yeah.
In that case, you also have to take the incentive of why the mother wants him to wear a hat.
So why does the mother want him to wear a hat?
Because she wants him to wear a hat.
What do you mean? Is that nogea to her, or is that not nogea to her?
I mean, once she's dead, it's not.
Right, so one would think it's not nogea to her. Unless her motivation is that he's not always going to be in his modern Orthodox shul when he's saying Kaddish. Sometimes he's going to be, visiting his father, and then, and he's going to be going to shul, and it's embarrassing to her. Everyone's going to say, look what kind of kid she raised, what kind of kid doesn't wear a hat? And it's going to, people are going to say things embarrassing about her. La'achar p'tirasa. So it's for her own kavod. Same thing about a hesped. It would be just like a hesped. That hesped is you're trying to show kavod through the hesped. So in her community, that would be embarrassing. So then maybe you'd be mechalik. That it would depend on where he's saying the kaddish. If it's somewhere that people are going to look askance at his mother for raising a child like this, then, or at least she would feel that way, then maybe he does have to listen according to this, because it is no ganter. But if it's Stam, his modern Orthodox shul, and everyone's going to look at him in a hat, like, what are you doing? What's the deal with the hat? With his jeans on, and the hat. She didn't say anything about a jacket, so it was just like weird. Why is he wearing a black hat with his t-shirt and jeans? So then maybe he wouldn't have to listen on that level. Now, the other factor to take into account is the relationship between this and Kibbut Aveim, meaning, forgetting the Shavua element of what Yaakov told Yosef, and even focusing that it's mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, how can we even learn mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames over here? You know why the brothers had to listen to Yaakov? Because he was their father, and there's a mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. So is there something that Kibbut Aveim doesn't apply to that mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames does apply to? Yeah.
I just want to say Kibbut Aveim ends once the person is dead.
So you'd be enticed to say that had it not been for the Gemara in Kiddushin that says mechabdo b'chayav or mechabdo b'mosa. The one in Kiddushin says explicitly that you still have to do kibra ve'im after the parent dies. Now here's the thing though. It says mechabdo b'mosa, but then the Gemara says mechabdo b'chayav ketzad. How does a person honor a parent while they're alive? Lo yeshiv b'makom lo yistar dvarav machilo mashkehu. Right, you give him to eat, you give him to drink, you don't sit in the seat, you do all these different things that are kibra. Right, what we know of is kibra ve'im. Mechabdo b'mosa ketzad. You're not going to dress him, you're not going to give him food. So how you mechab b'mosa? When you mention his name, when you mention the parent's name, you should say zichrono levracha hareni kaparas mishkava. You record his name in a respectful way. So what does that Gemara mean? Does that Gemara mean that that's the extent to the mitzvah of kibud aveim lachar moso? Or does it mean that no, that that's an example of kibud aveim lachar moso? But if let's say there's something that you know your parent wanted from you lachar moso, you have to. That's also part of kibud aveim. That the parent wanted you to dress a certain way. The parent wanted you to do something. So that would also be kibud aveim, maybe. Let's take a step back. Let's say a parent wants you to do something while the parent's alive. Is everything the parent wants you to do included in the mitzvah of kibud aveim? Let's say a parent wants you to wear a hat, a black hat. Let's even take something that couldn't possibly be halachic. Let's take the black hat. You can say, okay, it's a halacha, it's a mishum brura, whatever. Okay, take out the black hat. Let's say, let's say black hat as opposed to a gray hat. That's not halachic, right? Clearly not halachic. You like to wear a gray hat and with a feather. Just spice it up a little. But your parent, Dafka, wants you to wear a black hat. While they're alive, they say, I would really love it if you wore a black hat because, you know, that's what I like. So do you have to listen to them? Is that a mitzvah of kibud aveim? So what are all the examples the Gemara gives? Things that relate directly to the parent. Give him to eat, give him to drink. You know, don't argue with him. Don't sit in his seat. It's show kavod directly. What about these things that aren't direct? Both b'chayev and le'achar moso. Even b'chayev, this is a question, whether it's included in the mitzvah of kibud aveim. So this happens to be a machlokas haposkin. In the Tshuvas Marami Lublin, Simon Kuflam and Vav, he says there's no chiv on the child to be mekayim mitzvos ha'av that are not nogea to the father. In the Tshuvas of the Marsham, he proves from the Rivash the exact opposite. That whatever the parent wants, ritzono shaladam zeu kvodo, whatever the person wants, that is their kavod. And it's not only things that are nogea to them, it's things that are nogea to anything. It's just, if that's what they want, then that's what you have to do. And then he has a middle shita, the shita l'chaznish. Chaznish in Yardeh, Simkuf Memtes, Sivkat l'ches, says even though the ikar mitzvah of kibud aveim is only what's nogea to the person's kavod, and what the person's needs are, the ratzon haTorah is that ben yichabedav, that you should do what the parent wants. It's a ratzon haTorah. It's not part of the technical mitzvah, but it's not something that can be ignored either. So why are we talking about this? What was our question? Why did Yaakov have to rely? How can we learn mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis? Anyway, the children should have had to do what Yaakov wanted because kibud aveim. So what do we suggest? So we wanted to suggest, oh, maybe kibud aveim is not shayich to something that it does not nogea to the parent. So mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis goes even further. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis will include that which kibud aveim does not include. It will even include things that are not nogea to the parent. Or maybe kibud aveim is only nogea to saying hareni kaparas mishkava. But burying in Eretz Yisrael, all that stuff, that's just what they want. Maybe that's not included in kibud aveim. But mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis covers that as well. So that depends on how you view kibud aveim. It also depends on how you view mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. You could view mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis to not cover any of those things. And mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis is only about money. It's not about any of this. So that's the issue as far as the interplay between kibud aveim and mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. Now, what about our toast? What about our question? So we raised the question: why don't you, over here? It's money. It's money related. So we said, v'halo mashach, the guy is a bari, and there was no kinyan. So why do you have to give the money to the person that he said to give the money to? So the Chavra, it's a very simple answer, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. So the Tzaddik says four reasons why we can't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis over here. First, he says, Kiven the Chum Pligar Meir less than Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. Avagav the Chayim L'Kayim Meir Lo Boi Luk Mas Interesting, he says, it's true, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis would require you to give the money to that person. But the Chachamim don't hold Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. Only Rav Meir holds Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. We paskin like Rav Meir. We do paskin Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. But since the Chachamim don't hold that way, we don't want to say that our Mishnah is going only like a Das Yachid of Rav Meir. Even if it's a Das Yachid that we paskin like. We'd rather our Mishnah be able to go like the Chachamim, and that's why we're asking this question. Meaning, the answer is, Enochinami. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis would require you to give this money. Right? Answer number two, he says. By the way, the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara just says Das Yachid. Everyone accepts Rav Meir. All the other Tanaim accepted Shitas Rav Meir, except for Das Yachid of the Chacham who disagreed. So because the Rav Meir was one that thought of it or the one that articulated it, doesn't mean that it's a Das Yachid. Okay, let's assume like that it's a Das Yachid. Va'od Yesh Lomar. The Lo Matzi Luk Miasnisim Shem Nisal Kaim Devar Meis Dim Kain Mariy Tzibor Nafil Yin Tzibor Nami. If we're Mitzvah L'Kayim Devar Meis, you wouldn't need the money to be set aside and piled up somewhere. If we're initial Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis, you have to do it anyway, even if the money weren't piled up and set aside somewhere. Va'od Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, answer number three, Delar Min Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis Ela B'davar Shul Hushlash Mitchila Lekach B'yad Shlish. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis is only when you have already given the money that you want to go somewhere to a third party, and now you are instructing that third party what to do with that money after your death. That's Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. What does that tell you about Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis? First of all, what were our two chakizos? We wanted to know, does it relate to money or other things also? So obviously, if according to this approach, it's only money. And the other chakir is it a kinyan, or is it just, this is what you should do? So requiring hushlash mitchil l'kach sounds much more like terms of kinyanim than anything else. That there's an actual kinyan. Va'odom Ravina, time answer number four. The beger lo armin mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. They called the isay b'yerusha mitzvah l'kayim dvarav. Hova lo pasak kocha meyosam mamon. To be kocha yarshinah. But ger de leisay b'yerusha pasak kocha mamono in mitzvah l'kayim dvarav. By ger you wouldn't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Why not? Because there's no yerusha of the ger. And if there's no yerusha, there's no mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. The whole koach of mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis comes as an offshoot of yerusha. That also answers our questions. How does that answer our questions? What is yerusha nogea to? Only money. So it's only nogea to money. So the extension of Yerusha could also only be nogea to money. Right? Is it a kinyan? Sounds like it. Yerusha is a kinyan. Yerusha is that it now belongs to, right? It sounds that it's not just stam, a mitzvah to go ahead and do this later on. Okay, there's a lot more here in terms of what the Rishonim have to say about this and the analysis that could be done. But, okay, we'll stop there for now. A tester.